we want to capture like moose turd pie as we're doing it. It's obligatory, I think, to do that. All I got to do is type in moose too, and sure enough, there it comes up. Utah Phillips. Here we go. We'll be right back.
Went down and got a job with the rural electrification in the Navajo Indian Reservation. Running electric power lines into all the Navajo outhouses. I was one of the first people to wire ahead for a reservation. Finally, I'll tell you about the worst job I ever had in my life. Worst job I ever had in my life was working for the Santa Fe? Yeah, it was the Santa Fe Railroad, south of Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, that's the old Mormon Muddy Mission, you see. It's way out in what the Navajos call the boonies. Out in the desert. Now, the job was Gandhi dancing. Now, Gandhi dancing used to be in the old days. Gandhi dancing was when the Irish were building the railroad. Of course, the first transcontinental railroad was built by Irish laborers. And they used these long-handled shovels called Irish banjos that were made by the Gandhi Shovel Company of Chicago. Now, the Irish laborer would take the wide end of the shovel when he could find it, and then he would jam it in under a rail or a tie, and he would climb out on the long handle, do a little jig step out there, and that would lever the tie up or the rail up, and you push gravel in underneath it and tamp it down, and that levels the roadbed. See, that's what Gandhi dancing is. Leveling the roadbed so the damn train doesn't fall off as it goes by, which is just a big drag for everybody. Now, they don't do Gandhi dancing the normal way anymore, see. Like they did in the old days. Nowadays, they run three cars out on the line. They run a box car out there that's a bunk car. You sleep in it. Got bunks in there 18 inches apart. And then you got a tool car with your tamping irons and your tongs and your double jack hammers and spikes and all of that equipment, see, to do the job. And then you got a cook car. I mean, there's no restaurants anyplace around, so you got a cook car. Pots and pans and a coal or wood-burning stove and a long table down the middle to eat at. Only thing they don't hire is a cook. That's because they're cheap. Saves them money. The rule is that in that crew, they're supposed to pick among their own members who's going to be the cook. Now, they don't try to do it sensibly, like draw lots or decide who the best cook is. What they do is they wait and find out who bitches and whines and pisses and moans the most about the cooking. And they say, all right, wise guy, you think you can do better, you get to be the cook. Well, that was me, see. Old alligator mouth. The new man on the crew, and that was the worst food I'd ever had. I mean, it was dog bottom pie and pheasant sweat. Otter water comes out of an otter. It's a terrible, terrible stuff. Some people might think it's a delicacy, but I thought it was garp. So I complained, and they said, all right, wise guy, you get to be the cook. That made me mad, because I didn't want to cook. But I knew if anybody complained about my cooking, that they were going to have to cook. Armed with that knowledge, I sallied forth over the muddy river. I was walking around among the cheat grass and bunch grass there, and I looked down, and there was just a hell of a big moose turd. Biggest damn moose turd, that was a real steamer, damn. I looked down at that meadow wafer, and I said to myself, self, I'm gonna bake up a big moose turd pie. Cause if anybody complains about my cooking, they're gonna have to cook. So I tipped that pasture pastry up on edge. I got my shit together, so to speak. And I started rolling it down toward the old cook car. Bloom, bloom. I got it down there and leaned it up against the side, and I climbed up in the cook car and I baked up a hell of a big pie shell. And I baked that moose turd in it as slick as you please. And I crimped the edges with my thumbs and laid strips of dough across it and garnished it with a sprig of parsley, a little paprika. It was beautiful. Poetry on a plate. And I served it for dessert, waiting for the first hint of a complaint. Well, this giant dude come in, about 5'40". I mean, he was big. Throwed himself down like a fool on the stool. Picked up his fork. Took a big bite of that moose turd pie. Well, he threw down his fork, and he let out a beller, and he yelled, "My God, that's moose turd pie!" It's good, though.
All right, there we go. A little bit of moose turd pie. One of the fares offered up here at the Moose Turd Cafe, in an effort to make sure nothing worse happens the rest of the day to you guys. All right, let's see what the diesel is doing here. Let's see if he's going to answer.
Oh, morning.
Good morning. I'm calling Mr. Mike Diesel. Another John Bears Fip Tipton on the line here. Another millionaire.
Please hold.
Oh, okay. Oh, there he is.
This is my hold music.
Hey, when we're called
too early.
When we're called to testify, you know, like for conspiracy charges or whatever they're going to charge us with.
Testify, my brother.
Whenever they get around to charging us, we got to do like Allen Ginsberg did when he testified at the Chicago 8 trial. Oh, I want to tell you nothing. You know, nothing enraged Judge Julius Hoffman as much as that. Even Bobby Seale having to be chained in his chair. You know, because he kept, you know, saying shit.
You know what I'm going to do if I'm called to testify?
What?
I'm going to step up in there just like Rodney.
I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, Dangerfield, yes. God.
I got no respect, I'll tell you what. The other day I went to the pet store, I bought my wife a dog, I brought it home, I showed it to my neighbor, I said, "Hey neighbor, what do you think of the dog I got for my wife?" He said, "Great trade."
Oh, God, yes.
I know,
it's bad, man.
My wife came up to me and said, "We don't have great sex anymore." I said, "Because you're always in the room."
Ooh. Ooh, 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 ooh.
That was Rodney, man. That was Rodney.
I know. Well, you know,
he'd climb all the way up to the balcony of the theater show and point down at people in the front row and go, "No, those are the shitty seats." Oh.
God.
Nuts.
I got to tell you, I mean, even though I thought that what's the name of that, you know?
The movie he did with Kenison?
No. Caddyshack, yeah. Jesus, yeah. I don't know why I can't remember. You know,
hey, we're all going to the 19th hole. We're all going to get laid. Oh. No one speaks that way at Bushwood. How'd you like to come over to my place and mow my yard?
That's great, man. Hey, Mike, can you do a little bit of? I have to go find myself a tissue here. Hold on. So can you say something for a minute here on the Moose Turd Cafe while I go cook up?
Yeah, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the
slice of sandwich
cafe.
Shit here. Hold on.
We're just past the bottom of the hour. It's early. It's 6:30 on September, I believe. I don't even know what the date is. I thought it was the 28th, but I could be wrong. I know it's Friday, everybody. I know. Happy Friday out there to everybody out there. I hope your commute is pleasant. I don't have a commute because I'm a loser. All right, everybody. September 29th, right. It's 6:38 a.m. Today's supposed to be a lot cooler temperature. We've got a Canadian cold front pushing the hurricane. The remnants of the hurricane, the hell on out of here with a clear and beautiful sunny day that's going to be highs in the 70s, everybody. Weekend's supposed to be like that. Congratulations to the Washington Nationals for winning last night with the kids.
All right.
I congratulate them, and we'll see Bryce Harper in the lineup tonight, so I'm looking forward to that Friday night. Bryce Harper at Nationals Park.
Could be interesting. Right, man. Now, that's the one.
We're coming down to the wire here, Mr. Case. It's you got Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's it. And then we know that the Chicago Cubs, the current World Series champions from last year, who broke their 100-year curse, are on their way to Nationals Park on October 6th.
Wow.
So the first series of the National League Division Championship Series, so it should be interesting.
Now, I got to tell you a little minor tragedy that's taking place. You know, my wife and I are headed off on our little vacation here next
vacation
Wednesday.
Vacation, all I ever wanted to. Vacation, all.
Yeah, I get it. We get a little. She gets a little break, you know. Anyway, but see, now we're going to be up in Vermont. You know, for I believe the 6th was a possible game that maybe we could have gone to, but now,
well,
we're going to be gone,
man. So,
well, I mean, so turns out that Carol said, you know, I think that, you know, her cousin offered her that, you know, and I think she turned it down because of the.
I have to whisper.
Okay.
I don't mind being at home watching the game.
I understand that, you know, but we were looking forward to an opportunity to, you know, maybe that would have been a great game to see.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. I think that, you know, it's going to be a tough series. I mean, the Cubs are clicking on all four cylinders just like they were before the playoffs last year, and the Nats are not.
So, I mean, in the best of all possible, in one of the best of all possible worlds, this could be a preview of a possible World Series game. What World Series?
No. They're in the same. No.
Oh, they're in the same league.
They're
sorry.
In the same division.
Never mind.
They have to win the. This is National League. This is the National League. You know, where the pitchers actually have to hit. Not the American League, where they have a designated hitter. So.
Now what is that? Now wait a minute. That sounds like a criticism. What's the subject matter there? Explain yourself.
It's not a criticism. It never has been.
Oh, okay. Well, what are you talking about then?
I always felt like the pitcher should be able to hit. But the people in the American League don't feel that way.
Oh.
The American League has a designated hitter, generally in the eighth or ninth spot in the lineup, where the National League uses their pitcher to actually go up and either bunt or hit the ball. It's a different application of the same game.
What's the rule in the World Series?
It depends on where you're at.
Oh, really?
If you're at, like, say, for example, the Nationals manage to get to the World Series and play the Indians or somebody like that.
Right, right.
If they're in Cleveland, they get a designated hitter, and none of their pitchers, if they're playing a game, it's a home game for the American League, it's the American League rule. If it's a home game for the Nationals, then Cleveland is, and occasionally, this is bitten the American League in the rear end occasionally, when they've had to put a pitcher who hasn't really taken a lot of BP in practice.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, through the year. Now they do, the American League does occasionally, because of interleague play that's been introduced, you know, over 10 years ago, a lot of American League pitchers have some batting experience because they played in the National League. And they have to bat if they're at an interleague game, and you know, occasionally, and then it's the same thing. I mean, if the Nationals go to a park, like for example, when they played the Houston Astros in that series, none of the pitchers had hit.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
Because the Astros are American League, so you know it's gonna be interesting. There's some interesting things coming down to the wire here. I say congratulations to the Minnesota Twins for making the playoffs for the first time in a very long time. So.
By the way, the morning fare here at the Moose Turd Cafe is dog bottom pie, and dog bottom pie. Yeah.
Dog bottom pie, everybody.
Yeah. And then
if you buy a dog bottom pie this morning, we'll give you 50% off on the collection of moose turds.
The day old. Come on. You know, they're still good for dunking. You know,
you still got a shot at them.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like one of those 7-Eleven hot dogs that's been, you know, rotating in the same rotisserie for about 2 years.
Oh boy, that's done.
It'll stay, and you know,
if it's been sitting, depending upon if you calculate the number of years and then multiply it times five, that's how long it sits in your colon.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, you know, it's, I mean, actually, I think it's more like 5, 10 days, you know, more than 2 years. We're exaggerating a little bit, you
really,
know.
Yeah. I shouldn't really say that because there have been actually some 7-Elevens across the country that I had, you know, we had a really good communication network through the grapevine of stand-ups, and they would tell you, you know, hey, this is the place to go, this is the place to avoid. And there were some that were just, you know, not, you know, that were chain places that were actually really good. Really good. I mean, there was one 7-Eleven, I think, in, was it North Carolina?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Well, it depends on who owns the franchise. It depends on who owns the franchise.
Maybe it was a Wawa. Maybe, I'm thinking maybe it was a, it was either that or a Wawa.
Well, Wawa specializes in some fresh food, okay? I mean, so they have some kind of network where they try to get fresh vegetables.
Man, they had some chili dogs that were just fantastic because the chili was homemade.
I think it depends on the franchise owner. Sometimes, you know, I mean, now with McDonald's, yeah, it doesn't really, because the McDonald's rules are so rigid for the franchise owners that it's pretty tough for them. I mean, they get so much benefit. The company tells them that they get so much advantage from national McDonald's advertising and, you know, branding and all that, you know, that they basically owe them your soul, right?
Well, but, everything is pre-processed and everything is systematic.
But, you know, I think some of the convenience stores, you know, that sort of put some investment in and you tried to make it, you know, really take advantage of some of the new tech.
Sure, sure. There's some places that you can go. There was some really, really good food joints. I mean, there was one that I went to, not just one. It was part of a BP, but it wasn't, you know, yeah, the owner didn't know what to do with this one area. So he turned it into a little diner.
Right.
And man, oh man, let me tell you, it was a breakfast place.
Whew. Oh, I'll bet, man.
On the way from, I think, Clarksburg to Parkersburg.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Or maybe it was, I can't remember, somewhere along that line. And it was sat right off a little hill. In fact, that's where I met Missy, my dog. It's where they had, Missy was, the owner could not bring Missy home because her son was horribly allergic to dogs.
Oh, God.
She had Missy's picture up everywhere saying, I'm trying to find a home for this little doggy. And the comic I was with at the time, you know, walked right over her at the threshold, and so did I. And she looked right at me. Like, take me home, please.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and then we went outside, and she started running. She started running and playing, and she ran up to the car, and then she ran out. And, you know, I didn't want her to run out into the street, so I opened the car door up, and she jumped right in the back of the car.
Wow.
Yep. And this was on the way to the gig. And she was real sweet. She stayed with me that night. She curled up right by my head. I stopped on the way and got some dog food, of which she wasn't particularly, I mean, she ate some of it, but she wasn't that interested. When I went down to do the show, I think the bar location where we were performing was about 10 minutes away from the hotel. So the hotel said that was fine. They didn't care. They were okay with animals. So, I just made sure. I didn't want to leave, you know, if they weren't, I was going to leave her in the car and just walk her. You know what I mean? And just, you know, I called my then fiance, now wife. Hey, honey, I'm coming home and I'm bringing a guest.
What's that like? What kind of a? How did the? You know, well, that's good. I'm good. By the way, I have to hold on.
I just want to tell you a story about it because I didn't know what to call her.
As soon as
I got home and opened the car door up, she ran out of the car up to the front door, and my wife was standing there. My wife immediately called her Missy.
Wow.
And just, you know, she's been...
There you go. Been with you ever since.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a story of three dogs to tell you.
Well, that was 15 years ago, or 16 years ago, something like that.
These are three karmic dogs. Okay. And that's an introduction to the way I feel that we're going to come back to this as we review the news, okay, in a second, which, of course, is saturated with corruption.
Go ahead.
All right. So first...
I have a little thing I want to talk about.
All right. Dog of the Dead. Okay. There's three dogs. Dog of the Dead. Sometimes I wake in the middle of the night and all is quiet except for a dog barking. It's a very flat, repetitive barking that has the rhythmic qualities of someone driving a nail into a board. This is this dog's job, the graveyard shift, to which he brings no enthusiasm, but he does bring a dogged persistence. He must be the dog of the dead, since his owners never respond to his alarm.
Wow.
Now, you got another one here. Imaginary dog. All right. A man stands in the path holding a dog leash, calling into the woods, "Here, Maggie. Here, Maggie." When I approach, he says, "Don't worry about my dog. She's awfully big, but really gentle, and sometimes she likes to jump and lick people, but she's never bitten anyone." Well, except for the postman that time, but he survived, and he surprised her anyway. It was only a nip. "Here, Maggie. Here, Maggie." I smile and pass by. There's no sign of a dog, only a dense forest on either side of the path. Now we're talking to Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump, where's the dog? Where's the dog?
Harvey.
Yeah, that's right.
Harvey's a little shy today.
Anyway, well, we'll leave the third dog for later.
Maybe I could introduce Harvey to Maggie. Maybe.
Yes, right. Now, I view this as the classic gaslighting exchange here.
Yes, sir.
For example, let's talk about lock her up, the email server. Anyone remember that?
Yeah. You know? There's four and counting.
Now, actually, when you were fed that
government business.
Yes, when you were fed that by Donald Trump during his campaign, you were eating a shit sandwich. You were eating a shit sandwich, and he got you to think that you weren't. Now, how about that?
Yeah, this is delicious. They tell me this is a special kind of moose turd. It's tremendous. Believe me. Some people say this is the best moose turd you will ever eat.
Oh, man. It's called Lock Her Up. That's a great sandwich, ain't it?
I don't know if you've been paying attention, because there's so much. I mean, what fresh, new, shiny horror is available on the hour?
That's right.
But are you familiar with Alpha Bank?
Which has ties
directly to Vladimir Putin.
Oh, it's a Putin story.
And it has been under investigation, and I don't know what that writ thing is to, but it has one of those by our government. Say don't do business with these guys. They're not.
They're not legit.
And they've been under investigation by our Justice Department and the FBI for a couple of years now.
The FBI.
Okay. All right, let's get back as Sarah Flanders Chuckleberry says, the FBI, FBI. But it's been under investigation for quite some time. And Brian Binkowski, who was a Trump campaign worker, apparently they're in this investigation, they have discovered that the server for Alpha Bank is tied directly to the server for the Trump campaign.
Sure.
And Binkowski is a lawyer who is affiliated with Alpha Bank, who has lobbied on behalf of Alpha Bank.
Now,
this gets really interesting. After the campaign, he went to be a consultant and a direct hire for Alpha Bank. And now, guess what? He's been nominated as the top prosecutor for the Department of Justice.
Oh, great. Oh,
and the
man.
House of Representatives shitbag GOP passed him through to the Senate.
Right.
And now the Senate has to confirm him. But, John, this just tells me I am looking forward to my job, my new job, as the Washington Nationals hitting coach. Keep in mind, I haven't picked up a bat in 35 frickin' years.
Yeah, I know, man.
This guy has no trial experience, no prosecutorial experience, nothing.
Well, you know, compare that, however, to, you know, the Bobbitt dog that's featured this morning in the breakfast menu at the Moose Turd Cafe.
The Bobbitt dog.
Oh,
that poor little thing is running around the backyard looking for its severed penis. Is that weird?
Yes, that's right. I mean, we are supposed to swallow this stuff. I mean, and
it
you know,
like it sounds. It's not swallowable. That's a word. This is non-swallowable.
It doesn't look right. Unswallowable, you know, confection of the head of the Justice Department has just been found to be a spy and a corrupt. You know,
well,
I mean,
yet another. This is yet another tie to the Russians.
Okay, man.
That was undiscovered and now discovered.
You know,
yet another link to this crap organization that to me is an organized crime.
You know, now this is starting to become kind of like one of those early Shakespeare plays, right? Where you remember where, you know, some terrible offense.
Puppet. No puppet, no Shakespeare, no puppet.
No, hold on.
Believe me.
Where some horrible thing happens and revenge is, you know, I get to kill your kids and serve them up to you in a pie, okay?
Mm.
I think I was Titus Andronicus or something. It was I mean, there was a style in early, whatever it is, Elizabethan, that was called revenge, you know, tragedies. Everybody wanted to see, right on stage, somebody who richly deserved it gets served up the worst possible fate, right? You know, kind of like breakfast at the Moose Turd Cafe. But anyway, in that kind of tradition here, we have this problem. This guy just that's what we're being served up.
Hey, by the way, while you're eating your Moose Turd Pie, happy Friday, everybody.
That's just terrible.
Hey, we're coming up on the top of the hour. It's almost 7 a.m. here. It's September 29th, Friday. Woohoo!
I know, man. It's
God is broadcasting from Bolivar, West Virginia. You can hear great shows on this network, like you can hear the Storytellers Hour, Franny Kaufman. You can also hear the Resistance with Stuart Aiko.
That's right. We just posted Stuart's program, you know, so he's up there with the... you know.
Well, I keep reposting to all my friends the our podcast.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, so we're having a good time. Get people to, you know, maybe you know, get a little buzz going on here. Anyway, so I figured that that with this gaslighting thing that just keeps on going on. Okay. That hey, look over there in the woods while you have to eat a shit sandwich.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, every day.
Every single day.
You know, and we get caught up in the next one, and in the next one, and in the next one, you know, and...
By the way, speaking of sandwiches and food, Mario Batali, go F yourself.
Now, what happened? I used to like him.
He's an ass.
Is he really? God, I loved one of his recipes.
Keep stealing everybody's money, Mario. Keep talking that shit about nobody deserves $15 an hour, you piece of crap.
Oh, is that what he said? Well, you need to get we need to get the actual news here, and then, you know, we know what kind of sauce to put on the
Moose Turd.
Yeah, on the Moose Turd or the Bobbitt dog.
I'll be going through some sauce recipes today, John.
A nice sauce. Talk to Dr. Lecter about what might be a good sauce for the...
Can you hold on a second?
Sure. If he's around.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Lecter. Listen, we've been having, we want to put some sauce on our Moose Turd Cafe recipe. I know you've been sitting in the mornings, and do you have any recommendations?
I am talking to you. I am talking
talking to you directly from my conversation with Agent Starling.
I know. You're very obsessed with her. Yes, I know. But go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I think she is obsessed with the lambs. Can you hear them, Mr. Case?
Yes, I can. Yes.
Can
By the way, did you have
the
any...
lambs screaming?
I got the impression that she might be your secret daughter. Is that true?
There's no truth to that rumor, Mr. Case.
Oh. Okay,
let us not speak hyperbolically, Mr. Kay.
And I have another question. You know, now there are some glorious species on the planet. I believe the praying mantis is one, where the male, while trying to mount the female, gets consumed in the process, but not before he finishes his business. Is this kind of a reverse thing? Any praying mantises in your genealogical background, Dr. Lecter?
Do we not have a beautiful mosaic of an ecosystem?
I guess we do. Yes, we do.
By the way, I would recommend a Chianti reduction.
A Chianti reduction? Oh, I see. Should there be any anything added to the blood-like
possibly,
substance?
Possibly some fish stock.
Oh, God. You sound like
Good
a small weasel.
Case. I must go back.
I know. Thank you for joining us in the cafe. You know, we always appreciate your sauce recommendation. Oh, my God. All right, you're back. Jeez. Okay. Well, while you were gone, a bat, a something close to a human bat entered the cafe and made his. He always wants to put Chianti, but I'm never sure whether he's talking about Chianti or you know.
Right. I don't know if that's real Chianti or that is something drained.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
Because it looks awful thick to be Chianti.
You've heard of Otter Water. Try Otter Chianti.
Oh, no.
Ah, yes. Well, oh, you think that's bad? Guess what's coming up on the news? Okay. So, Paul Krugman, by the way, has, I think he may need to owe you this because you've been talking about Trump's narcissism, you know, incessantly. Narcissistically, almost.
Wow.
Anyway, and that's what
takes one to no one.
That's right. Yeah. So Paul Krugman today has responding to a new Kennepack poll, which says a majority of Americans now believe that Donald Trump is unfit to be president.
Quinnipiac.
Okay. Yeah, the trouble with Trump isn't just what he's doing, but what he isn't. In his mind, it's all about him, while he's stroking his fragile ego.
Believe me.
Exactly.
Believe me. Trust me. Believe me. Believe me.
And
believe
now, me, people. And how do you explain your neglect of Puerto Rico, Mr. President?
We are doing an excellent job, everyone. I don't know if you know this, Mr. Case, but that's an island. You cannot drive a truck to it.
I don't know. You look like you spend 5 days masturbating, pal. Instead of getting to the business.
Other brilliant observations of mine, I have just announced to the entire nation that fire is very hot.
I would brush your teeth now.
Believe me. You guys are fake news. I don't listen to you.
Well, we are. That's true.
Fake news.
We make our own fake news, and you're
fake
one of the...
Fake news. Fake news.
Oh,
you
take a bath.
You even call yourself an awful name. Moose Turd. What is that? You're not going to sell that. That's awful.
Sure we are. We're selling it right now. You just bought it, pal.
I don't need to listen to this. I'm leaving.
Bye, Prez.
Wow. Good riddance to bad rubbish.
Yeah, right. The rubbish.
Hey, come for the misogyny and racism and stay for the impeachment, everybody.
Yeah, I know. It's It's only going to get better. You know. I mean.
Mm-hmm. It's, well, I just if you want to see if you want to see a one of the largest parties in the history of the United States, one of the largest people partying in the streets.
Just get rid of him. So you let him retire.
Well, it's not gonna. It's not gonna. You know, that's a good start. But you know, Pence has got to go too. So you know.
You know, I mean, there has to be a regime change here in the United States.
Oh boy.
I mean, seriously, a regime change. There needs to. I mean, what else can you? I mean, everything else is, you know, it's just going to be pussyfooting around and waiting for the next explosion. I mean, if look at what Bannon's already starting his, you know, a new, you know, little fascist enterprise, you know, to compete.
Sure. And that kind of divisiveness is supported. I mean, if you look closely, this is very systematic by the Kremlin. Okay, John, it's very systematic.
Wait a minute, you're blaming the Kremlin?
It's going on in Iraq, it's going on in Spain. They are, where they can find a wedge, where people are, you know, angry and pissed off at their...
Whoa,
you
think the Russians are doing all this?
And there's a lot of... Yes, yeah, they're sitting... Paul Manafort is now onto another project to support Putin. I don't know if it's Kurdistan or where it is, but I do know that there's...
Well, the Kurds just voted by a 98% margin.
Right. I mean, there's the same separatist, non-identification of refugees and immigrants and blaming everything.
Well, let me ask you...
Stoking the flames of hatred.
All right,
all
right.
Just John, not just nationalistically, but internationally.
Okay, hold on. Hold on.
They love divisiveness. That's what they're doing. They're dividing.
Okay. Hold on.
That's what they do. That's their psyops.
Hold on. Please.
Hold on.
I mean, the Kurds voted by a 98% margin for, and I think that you're going to see something similar happen in Barcelona, Catalonia, they call it, right? Anyway, and you know, but you know, I think that to say that it's a Russia conspiracy is that's off the mark, man. I don't believe. I mean, I don't. Whatever Russia's national interest is, it's not driving that thing. And there's a lot of things going on in Spain for the past 15 years, especially austerity.
No, I know. I know, John. It's not a conspiracy. It's that anywhere they can support divisiveness, that's what they're doing. It's not a, you know, it's not a secret. They're not making it a secret. It's out there online. They're doing the same thing. Their tracks are everywhere in terms of the bots, the similarity of the programming, the similarity of the organizations. Uh-huh. They're all doing, it's one or two organizations within that organization that are doing the same thing.
Yeah. Okay, I got to see the evidence.
It continues. This isn't conspiracy based. This is fact, man.
Yeah.
You know, the investigations are there. Yeah, there's genius reporting out there.
So the Kurds
together.
So why is it wrong for the Kurdistans to want independence? Why is that wrong?
I didn't say it was wrong.
Well, then
John.
Why is if it's not wrong, then why is, you know, divisive is a very negative term. I mean, then why is it divisive if it's not
anywhere
wrong?
Anywhere that they can stir the soup, that's what they're doing. Anywhere that they can draw some divisions and hammer away at standard norms, that's what they're doing.
But what do you think the U.S. is doing around the world? I mean, seriously. I mean, what do you think Israel is doing?
John,
I mean, what do you think that
we're not?
You know, they're all doing it.
I'm not saying we're not, but John. So,
I mean, where are we at? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know that the U.S. is blatantly murdering anybody.
Give me a break.
Any investigation.
Give me a break.
You actually think that that journalists in our country are being executed on the streets?
They have been, you know, in the past, you know,
but all over Latin America,
we murdered everybody that was to Bernie Sanders or leftward, you know, for 4 decades, maybe more, maybe 5.
Okay, so
I'm not letting us off the hook. I'm saying quite specifically that a lot of what is going on is being steered by some of the same organizations. This isn't Russia. I mean, it's Russia in terms of financing, and on, but anytime somebody can be divisive, that's what they're doing. I'm not saying that it is. I don't even pretend to understand the international end goal, because I don't know if there is one.
There may not be. You're right.
I mean, it may be just to F things up, to F things up sake. It may just be that this, hey, let me prove that to you that I can do this and test out some of my psyops online. Let me see what my group of people can do at, you know, to what degree or what percentage can we harm. Look at the results over a 6 to 8 month period.
The thing that interests me most of all is why actually, I can understand, look, the splits in the European Union, which to Russia look a lot, united, it looks a lot like the old military bloc with all the weapons, all the big weapons pointed at Russia, okay? That's what it looks like to mm-hmm. them, okay? So, yeah, I can mm-hmm. understand why they would take the separatist movements, especially in the south of Europe, okay, that are... which result from the fact that the southern Europe, when it joined the EU, was poor by comparison to the north. And it could not afford, the same, now it was one single labor movement. So low-wage workers from all these low-wage things, all the way from Poland all the way around to Spain, okay, all start... flooding, EU labor markets, okay, and that causes a lot of problems with, you can see what happened in England with, and what happened in, and the right-wing campaign started, so you had this division came in because, the EU could never form itself like the United States, but they couldn't even put together an unemployment program, Mississippi is a state, has federal unemployment, Greece does not. All right.
Yeah, you're coming at this with a very, very specific history of having a great deal of knowledge internationally in the labor movement, and you're right. To one extent or the other, it continues to be, hey, I'm on board for trying to help people, but I don't want you taking money out of my paycheck just to pay that asshole.
I understand a little bit, the dynamics, the split there in Europe because of the problems of the European Union doesn't have a federal government. It only has a federal bank, really. That's the problem with it, okay? And so it can't do certain things, okay? You can't tell the banking system, EU will print a lot of money and backstop you, okay, if the German banks' creditors don't pay up, okay? Because the German bank said, well, there's nobody who's going to do that. If they don't pay up, we're out of business. I mean, that's their, And so no surprise, they take a very hard line. And no surprise, the forces in Greece and Italy and obviously parts of Spain, okay, and, some other places, things start to get rowdy. Very rowdy.
No doubt. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and also, too, I think there's something to be said for the, I don't want to let the international corporations with controlling interests in so many different things off the hook.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're driving a lot of it.
They are going to continue to push their,
they're trying to push the corporate tax rate in every country to zero. That's what they're trying to do. And they leverage one against the other. Oh, you don't want to cut your tax rate to zero? Well, we'll put our money over here, That's what they do.
Hey, remember those shipping lanes we let you guys enjoy for 20 years? Those are shut down now. if you want... If you want to ship through here, it's going to cost you. So,
speaking of which, man, I mean, this Trump, after a week, he loosens the shipping. Well, you know, the shipping interests don't like that. What? Jesus. Oh, there's no words for it.
All the people are sitting there on the docks, like, we need to plow through this crap so we can get all of this. You know, you've got generators that are running out that are maintaining the supply that's sitting there, you know, next to the damn ocean, ready to go inland. You've got support volunteers, not enough of them, but they're certainly ready. When you come out and say, everyone has to come to the city, all your mayors from all these different towns have to make the trek, the 3-4 hour trek to the city, and then back to your town, because I have no way to distribute supplies. I barely got enough gas to get there, you asshole.
There we go. You asshole, you.
We're back on that again. We covered that yesterday.
We got to leave that title for yesterday. We got some hits on. We got some hits on that one, by the way. You know, that was interesting.
Perfect.
You know.
Perfect. Chief Wiggum from The Simpsons would say, there's nothing to see here, you looky-loo. Just move it along. Everything's got to be fine.
Here's another menu item on the cafe today. This fish
tasty
in your sandwich has been sitting on the dock a week in Puerto Rico waiting for aid. And as finally has gotten to you, we'll call it a kind of Trump seasoning as it sits, you know, while, you know, the people
in
Puerto Rico.
Are you saying my old rotten fish has an orange glaze reduction? Is that what you're trying to
say? Well, we have to ask Dr. Lecter if we can have an orange Chianti.
I knew that pumpkin spice was popular, but come on!
So we're serving you up a fish from Puerto Rico, you know, and in your Mooster Turtac Cafe sandwich today. But that's about what's being left for the people of Puerto Rico to eat, who are probably going to be killing each other for crumbs again. You know, racist sons of bitches just love that. Yeah. Mr. Banda, they'll kill each other down there starving to death.
Well, you bring that up, and that's one of the things the mayor was pointing out. I can't drag this 3 hours and not see, you know, not have the opportunity to see people attacking my, you know, caravan to my town, because other people are starving just as much as my folks are.
That's right.
You've got people that need medication. You've got generators running out of power in hospitals everywhere. This is a incredible, incredible pain.
This is a big one, I think, actually. You know, this one is
one of the guy they put in charge, the gentleman they put in charge of Katrina, who did such a good job towards the end, the general, who's retired, came on and said, look, you need a mass evacuation right now. Right friggin' now.
I mean, this is
T-130s, ocean liners,
he's gonna kill him instead.
He's a freaking murderer. You know, and it's either that or send a portion of the fleet, and because we do have a fleet hospital, we do have a boat that is a power boat, that is a boat that generates power, more than one, and where are they? Where the hell are they? You know, you need heavy equipment brought into a little area in a confined space to clear out the roads.
Is this a genocidal act? Is it?
It feels like it.
Man.
Excuse me, I was drinking some water.
Boy, we're getting to the fascist essence faster than we thought.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. There's nothing said about it. There's nothing being done about it. It is a frightening, you know, frightening tale of air, but for the grace of God go I.
Maybe that would be the...
The volunteers, the people that have gone there and given up their time and money and effort to try to make an effort are, to me, those are real heroes.
Yeah.
Those are real heroes. People that have sacrificed, you know, so much to go there and try and help, and they're not being steered in any direction. There's nobody in charge of what's going on. Now, you know, I think there was an attempt. There was an attempt made to put somebody in charge, and I don't even know if they want the job.
Oh God! I mean, you know, this is new territory. I'm not, and I think we. I don't know how to even put it into words right now. I mean, the enormity of it has just you know, sort of gradually been sinking in on me all week. You know, this could be. I mean, when the death toll is counted, and I don't even know how it's going to be counted now. You know, in Puerto Rico,
it may reach the thousands.
I mean, a country of 3 million people, 3.5 million people.
Yeah.
And if this doesn't, by the way, you know, demand an independence, talk about now. Here's an example. Okay. Why would not the Puerto Rican independence movement, which was strong for a while in the 60s, you know, and but then kind of died out, you know, but now, of course, the island's completely bankrupt because of Wall Street, mostly.
Right.
Right. And so it's got.
Yeah,
you know,
the lax trading rules and the hedge fund managers increasing percentages by astronomical amount of money. And then, you know, you have the orange fart cloud blaming the people there for not.
Yeah, I think they should affiliate with Cuba.
Shit like that.
They should try to affiliate with Cuba. Of course, Cuba hadn't got any money.
Now,
Cuba has no money. They don't have any money. They're wiped out too. You know, so
you know, and I have to give some of the folks in our, you know, Mayor Bloomberg went there. You know, was on the ground there, and
Well, you know, Bloomberg, but you know, Bloomberg ain't ever going to get, you know, he was a Republican, right, that you could probably live with, right? I mean, you know, I didn't agree with a lot of stuff he did, but you could probably live with him. He wasn't nuts, you know, and, you know, and he was smart about some things, okay? You know, but they're not a prayer in hell this guy could ever get elected in the Republican Party now. No, you know, he couldn't get nominated for beans. I mean, all these morons they're not going to vote for him. They want a fascist. They want an authoritarian. They don't want anybody. They don't want nothing. You know, that's happening here, okay, that people have joined this movement behind Trump or Trumpism or whatever, or the Roy Moores or the ultra-right fantasies.
Oh,
right?
I just think
it's bad.
It's not as big as you think, John.
And it doesn't have to be. It's bad, man.
Squeaky wheel's getting the grease right now. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
We'll see what happens when it crashes.
We're seeing the partition, though. It's a sharp division, okay? And, you know, the resistance is picking up, too. It has. Look, it's legislatively defeated the Trump offensive. But administratively, we're getting our ass kicked still, okay? Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And and also in the States,
you know, but we're not, John. You're really on this gloom and doom, and so am I to a certain extent. But I also acknowledge the fact that we have won some really. If you listen to Bernie, we've won some races we should not have. We, you know, in states where we, it was unthinkable.
Well, it's very important.
Kansas, Oklahoma, we're winning some special elections. You know, New Hampshire, you know, there was a seat held, I can't even remember what state it was, by Republicans for 40 years. And it's now in the hands of the Democrats.
Now, this is Congress or state office?
No, this is at the state level. This is at the state level. And some congressional, but mostly at the state level.
Well, I mean, the key has to be, what can you do about the you know, the Congress, right? I mean, it's closer. Take West Virginia, okay?
Oh,
I mean, we're a perfect example of the problem.
Take my West Virginia, please.
We are a perfect example of the problem, right? I mean,
No doubt.
So, I mean, how do you knock this over? Do you knock it over with somebody that's closer to Manchin? You know, do you knock it over with, you know, some left alternative and or some someone that tries to do a Bernie Sanders? Okay, but remember, that's an unusual person, a Mr. Bernie Sanders. Okay, Bernie Sanders is, why is Bernie Sanders? Because he's so labor oriented. Okay, and right now the labor movement's been exterminated. Yeah, you go try to find anyone that's under 80. you know, that has that kind of background and ability, you know, understanding of how to frame issues, okay? And you're not going to find too many on the sort of liberal left right now that can do that, okay? They get too buried into more marginal questions, and they can't see the
right. I mean, and you have
you have some
real divisions within the Democratic movement in terms of, you know, whether you're going to be what was considered a moderate Republican a long time ago, which is now considered a centrist Democrat, but
yeah,
on and on
right.
and on. You have millennial Democrats that are sick of the whole damn thing and want to blow it up. That would like what you had just said, a younger, aggressive, charismatic type of Bernie Sanders candidate.
Yeah. I mean, they would like that.
Yeah, that's what they're looking for now. What's his name? Attorney General of California.
I know what you mean. Yeah, okay.
Is it Malcolm or
Garam? Garam. I forget.
Gavin. Gavin McLeod.
There you go. Right. Okay.
Gavin Newsom.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
He is a really, and it's a shame about that man's looks. It really is. It's too bad.
Yeah.
That is one. You know, yeah. I'm not gay or anything, but man, for him, here's the thing.
Right.
He had a television show. It was a good television show. It was a smart television show on the defunct Current TV network, which was owned by Al Gore, which he sold to Al Jazeera and made millions of dollars. Dr. Evil with millions of dollars. How come I can't have
Al Gore
sharks with freaking lasers on their heads? But he did well. But he has been in California politics his whole life. But he is out of the Governor Brown school of politics.
Yeah.
And he is very close to the governor and has been for a long time, and he knows the landmines, both in California and nationally, I think.
Yeah, that's good. So he'd be a good good candidate, but you think he might look to you might be too identified with just with gay thing or what? Is that what you're trying to say?
Because I don't know.
He should dress differently or what? You know.
No, I mean he's a really good looking guy, but no, I don't know if he's not gay.
Oh, he's not. Oh, okay.
No, I mean, he's a really smart guy, but there's also who was our previous, I think, Secretary of Education. Maybe that's not it. The twins from Texas, the Hispanic heritage, really smart.
Okay, I know you're talking about. Yeah, okay. Yeah. One of them is the mayor of San Antonio. Right. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think they're both from San Antonio.
Yeah. I forget their name, but yeah.
But yeah. Really, really smart guys. So there is some movement out there.
Yeah.
That does have, we gotta stop doing this do-si-do with Wall Street, and we keep doing it, and it's pretty obvious.
I don't see how you don't because Wall Street's divided. Okay, I mean there's a liberal side of Wall Street. Okay. Especially on social questions and even on some income questions, okay? I mean, you know, I'll tell you right now that Robert Rubin is not a conservative, okay? And problem is those guys believe that, you know, they kind of believe in investment in the innovative side of the economy. That's mostly where they're coming from, okay?
Right, and I think they believe in a little bit more of a long-term commitment. By the way, everybody, we're coming up at the bottom of the hour here on Friday, September 29th, 7:30 almost a.m. in the morning. And thank you so much for listening to EnlightenRadio.org. This is the Moose Turd Cafe with your original dusty-footed philosopher and host, Mr. John Case, and his sometimes sidekick who gets a little animated.
Right.
And I
don't even know what his name is. But
dog.
Here it is.
Well, I'm glad that I'm glad that we invoked the dog of the dead and the imaginary dog this morning to try to understand the intricacies of this and the depth of this potential genocidal neglect. Is that possible? A genocidal neglect?
Mr. Gay.
Senator DeFranken, thank you. Thank you for showing up here. Thank you.
Yeah. So far, you've really not said a whole lot. So, and at the same time, you've said a lot. So, I'm going to let everybody and your listeners think about that for a second. And we beat back their horrible health care plan. But, John, do you mind if I call you Joe?
No, thank you. I feel honored.
I think everybody would learn a lot by reading my book, Al Franken, Giant of the Senate.
I'm going to look forward to your succeeding book, Senator Franken, called Al Franken, President of the United States.
I think we're getting our skis out in front there.
Okay, buddy.
Just a little bit. I'm going to go back to wrestling practice.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you, Senator Franken. All right, buddy.
Al Franken is very frank. Hey, good night, everybody. Thank you.
All right. Hey, it's good for us. We're right at the hour here, buddy. And so why don't
are we ready to cut this thing off now?
Yeah. We can do that, and then we can. I'll close with. What should I play? I got to play something here. I might play a dog.
Play something, Mr. DJ. Play something.
I got one. I got one called "My Dog Don't Lie." Okay. That's
all right, everybody. Have a great weekend.
All right, man. Take care of each other. It's late, but everything comes next. Yeah. Get back. Don't get ready Monday for the Booster Cafe.
My dog don't lie.
My dog don't lie.
My dog don't lie.
My dog don't lie.
My sleep all day, scratch, fleas, and cry. These barking trees, you best believe that coon soon say goodbye. Do me proud out loud, my dog don't lie. My hound can run a scent through tater bug, bean blossom, crick. Stop and get a drink, pick up a trail, not miss a lick. Talking with the moon, he owns the woods, goes with the night. Sure as possum pie, my dog don't lie. My dog don't lie.
My dog don't lie.
My dog don't lie. He might sleep all day, scratching fleas and cry. These barking trees, you best believe that coons won't say goodbye. You do me proud out loud, my dog don't lie. Getting up, chase, nose to the ground, won't look around. Even if a whiff of grouse or a pheasant he has found. Won't run deer trail, walk turkey tracks, no fox is quite so sly as my true blue brown coon hound. My dog don't lie. My dog don't lie.
My dog don't lie.
My dog don't lie. He might sleep all day and scratch fleas and cry. If he's barking trees, you best believe that coon soon say goodbye.
Do me cry out loud. My dog don't lie.
My dog don't lie. My dog don't lie.
My
sleep all day, scratch, please, and cry. He's barking treat, you best believe that coon soon say goodbye.
Do me proud out loud. My dog don't lie.